and I'm the administrator for the Arthropod Born Disease Program. And over the past several years, I've been working as the administrator to oversee and manage operations for the program, and I'll discuss the policy and fiscal issues related to Lyme disease surveillance and the effect of the Sentinel surveillance pilot for Lyme disease. Just a brief overview. I'll discuss the New York State Department of Health operational structure, the disease reporting, particularly requirements for Lyme disease, various forms of fiscal support for our local health departments, challenges experienced by state and local health departments in Lyme disease surveillance, and the resulting response to these challenges. So a little bit of information about New York State. We have over 18 million residents. We are split into 57 county health departments plus New York City. Disease investigation at the state is conducted by the Division of Epidemiology. And within the Division of Epidemiology is the Bureau of Communicable Disease Control. Our program, the Arthropod-Borne Disease Program, reports to the Bureau of Communicable Disease Control and is responsible for all Lyme disease surveillance in New York State. In New York State, more than 75 diseases are currently reportable, and I believe that that number is actually closer to 90 right now. Reportable arthropod-borne diseases include Lyme disease, babesiosis, ehrlichiosis. These are examples of tick-borne reportable diseases. Examples of mosquito-borne reportable diseases include West Nile virus infections and Eastern equine encephalitis. Disease reporting is mandated at the state level and is codified in Public Health Law Article 2. And by regulation, specifically Title 10 of the New York State Codes, Rules, and Regulations, Part 2. This diagram shows the flow of disease reporting. It starts off with a patient, and my arrows aren't going in the right order, I apologize. So New York State regulates disease reporting through public health law. It requires that physicians report and laboratories report electronically and via paper reports. It actually starts with the patient. When the patient exhibits symptoms for Lyme disease, that would be an EM rash or other symptoms, and then they go to see their physician. And the physician either orders a lab test if they feel that that's necessary, or if it's an EM rash, they report directly to the local health departments. The laboratories also report results of positive lab reports to the local health departments. Then the state mandates that local health departments report cases for further investigation to the state, and the state reports confirmed cases to the Centers for Disease Control. A little bit of information about Lyme disease. You've probably seen this previously. It became reportable in 1986, and over the last 20 years, Lyme disease is concentrated along the eastern portion of the state. Currently, we have the largest disease registry for Lyme disease in the world, which is 73,000 plus cases. Stakeholders are impacted by Lyme disease issues across the state. All residents are at risk, and state and local government experience the burden of the disease investigation and struggle with resource management issues. Other entities that are involved in disease diagnosis, treatment, and reporting are also listed here. There are a couple of different sources of fiscal support for local health departments. State aid program is legislated through the Article 6 program of the New York State Public Health Law. All local health departments receive this funding. All local health departments are eligible for reimbursement, and it's determined through an application process called the Municipal Public Health Service Plan. And anyone in New York State has an affection for this plan, I'm sure. And there's also an annual budget involved. Along with Lyme disease surveillance, our Article 6 reimbursement process is quite cumbersome. General public health work describes the work that's conducted by more than 30 programs at the local level, and they support the basic public health infrastructure activities. general public health work, currently under this public health law, Article 6, mandates disease surveillance and education for every program at the local level. It is required in order for local health departments to get this reimbursement. Within the arthropod-borne disease program, we also review applications and budgets for vector surveillance and control, and this primarily includes ticks and mosquitoes. No local health department currently requests reimbursement for tick surveillance and control. Within this program, we just increased our base grant. Right now, the base grants, which is 100% of the first $406,000 or $550,000, is reimbursed to each local health department. The differentiation is that local health departments with an environmental health component receive the larger amount of $550,000. Beyond those base grants, 36% of approved expenditures are reimbursed. In addition to Article 6, we also provide contracts to local health departments. Currently, we provide three-year contracts to support Lyme disease surveillance and prevention at the local level beyond Article 6 reimbursement. Each local health department must conduct enhanced surveillance, which is defined as active surveillance, and community-level education, including media campaigns and the integration of our Bee Tick Free campaign. Funds are awarded based on a three-year average of incidence rates. Right now, we are using the Healthy People 2010 goal of reducing Lyme disease to less than 9.7 cases per 100,000 as a marker for our Lyme disease incidence goal. Eligibility for these contracts includes all local health departments that demonstrate an average incidence rate greater than that 9.7 marker. Total contract funding per year right now is $400,000, and this is split funded between monies that we received from our federal prevent block contract, a very small portion of that, which is $250,000, and the New York State Tick-Borne Disease Institute, which is $150,000. Just very briefly here, you'll see that we have four categories based on incidence rate, the three-year average incidence rate right there. There's greater than 9.7 cases per 100,000 or 50 cases. The next category is greater than 20 cases, greater than 100, and greater than 300 cases per 100,000. In the last column to the right, you'll see how many contracts we award in each category. So these are the counties that currently receive this funding. There are 13 contiguous counties that have been awarded these contracts. This funding has been available for more than a dozen years. Over the past 5 years, we've added four counties to make it a total of 13. This number continues to grow. So the local health departments are continually struggling with challenges. There's resource issues, including declining funding opportunities and staffing cuts, while struggling with competing public health priorities, such as emerging infectious diseases and homeland security issues. Politically, local health departments are impacted by resource allocation decisions by administrators, as well as developing relationships with local advocacy groups. We're also concerned about treatment and diagnosis and insurance coverage for a variety of treatment options for those suffering with Lyme disease, and that's just a snapshot of what they're struggling with locally. They're also experiencing a significant increase in the burden of Lyme disease investigation to determine case status, which Mark mentioned, and Sarah and Candace will expand upon. At the state level, we are also struggling with similar resource issues. In particular, we're seeing increasing numbers of local health departments which qualify for this contract funding, despite having stagnant funding levels for these contracts. We are always struggling with trying to find resources to pass on to the local health departments. We're also dealing with competing public health priorities, and the increasing numbers of local health departments that qualify for these contracts result in an increasing burden in Lyme disease surveillance at our level as well. This is a snapshot of the local health departments that may qualify for funding in the next contract round. There's five new counties that we're starting to look at to examine for contract eligibility. And one note is that they're also contiguous to the original 13. So this will be a total of 18 counties. So New York State responded to the local health departments facing increased burdens associated with local Lyme disease investigation. And it resulted in a Sentinel surveillance pilot for Lyme disease starting in calendar year 2007. Currently, four local health departments are participating, and this pilot allows for the investigation of a portion of the total Lyme disease laboratory reports. However, it still requires that local health departments submit all EM rash reports, which are reported to them by physicians. There are many concerns at the state level regarding implementing the pilot. Local health departments are required to fill all of their obligations, specifically disease reporting obligations under the public health law. Local health departments are also required to fulfill contractual obligations, which meant that we needed to modify our contract guidelines, and we needed to allow the four counties that are participating to submit an alternative contract work plan. For the four counties participating, what we're doing is we're only funding education activities at the community level, and it meant that they are excused from the active surveillance requirement. We also still need to maintain the integrity of our surveillance data. We need to document disease trends across the state, and we also need to measure the efficacy of the prevention initiatives at the state and local levels, especially those that we fund. So why Sentinel surveillance, especially from a policy point of view, when we're looking at contract and law legal issues? This pilot is addressing burdens for disease investigation in high-incidence local health departments. And it is also helping us to maintain a minimum level of representative case data, which is important in our need to document disease trends. With regard to compliance with public health law and regulation, this pilot allows Sentinel local health departments to deviate from disease reporting requirements, which initially required the review and approval at various levels of the New York State Department of Health, including our legal department. It also required support from the New York State Department of Health executive staff and the CDC. This support provided for the implementation of a pilot to test the alternative surveillance system and to examine outcomes of the representative data. Finally, we require the support and cooperation of participating local health departments to run the pilot and to develop many of the system changes that we needed. We truly developed a partnership with these four local health departments, and it was really important to implementing the program. This will be discussed in depth by my colleagues, Sarah Kogut and Candace Newman-Toley. I'd like to thank my colleagues at the State Health Department for their support and assistance with this presentation and the session.